When you're shopping for toothpaste, does suggested profanity in their commercial cause you to be more likely to buy it? No. You want clean teeth, fresh breath, and maybe some whitener, right? Well, Hello needs to hear that the implication of foul language doesn't increase your desire to buy their toothpaste. In fact, the opposite is true. Please sign the petition at 1millionmoms.com asking Hello to cancel their strangely noticeable commercial and be more responsible in their ads. 1millionmoms.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Psalm 118, verse 24 is a favorite for many. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In Psalm chapter 40, it says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Hey, this day, it's all you have to live is this day. Yesterday, whatever happened yesterday, the day before that is gone. All you have is today. So live today for his glory. Well, we want to talk today about what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. The news came out from different news sources. I'm reading from the Baptist Standard from Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. It says, the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee reported that it has spent more than $12.1 million on the 2021-2022 Guidepost Solutions investigation into its handling of sexual abuse claims and subsequent legal expenses dating back to 2021. It lists how they have spent this $12.1 million. The total cost of Guidepost investigation was $3.1 million. $2 million was paid directly to Guidepost to conduct the investigation, which incidentally didn't give us anything new about any sexual abuse. So $2 million spent to find out nothing that you didn't already know. Legal and task force expenses totaled $1.1 million. The executive committee paid $3.1 million to indemnify Guidepost, and the cost of the abuse tip line hosted by Guidepost has been $861,000. This expense has been reimbursed by Send Relief. That's the organization that goes in after a storm, a hurricane, whatever it might be, and helps people. So our Send Relief spent almost $1 million paying for this abuse tip line. And it's just a disaster. And so in order to pay for this, the Southern Baptist Convention is putting their building up for sale. Their building in Nashville, it's valued at $31.7 million. They're going to have to sell that building in order to pay these expenses. And so we want to talk about this today because this is big news in the world of Southern Baptists. And it's such a disaster, and it didn't need to be. And so I've asked my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter from the Danbury Institute, to weigh in on this. And Randy, do we have him? Okay, we're working on getting him, but Scott is very, very abreast of what's going on in the SBC, and he's been a principal player to bring back conservatism in the Southern Baptist Convention. Not that it's a liberal organization. It's definitely not that. But there's some drift. And those that say there is no drift, they're not being, either they're not seeing the situation correctly, in my opinion, or they're not being honest about it, because there's definitely a drift. And all the stuff that we did, buying into the Me Too movement and Russell Moore saying there's all this abuse going on in the Southern Baptist Convention, well, that's just not true. And the $2.1 million we spent with the company called Guidepost Solutions just to conduct this study didn't reveal any of that. And so now one of the persons that was mentioned in their in their study was Dr. Hunt. And he was the one, he was former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they accused him, Johnny Hunt, of sexual abuse of a staff member's wife. And he said, I didn't abuse anybody. He said, I had a moral failure, a moral lapse. It wasn't sexual intercourse, but it was inappropriate touching of this woman. It was very, very brief from what he said. She ends up saying, well, I was petrified. I didn't know what to do. And he's this person in power. It's all this, you know, critical race theory. The person in power is obviously abusing this other person because that other person doesn't have any power. That's where you get the idea that people say, well, you know, David raped Bathsheba. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that David raped Bathsheba. Oh, he had to rape Bathsheba because he's the king. He has all the power. She can't say no. She wants to say no, but she can't say no. He raped her. Well, no, it doesn't say that. But it does say right after that that David's son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. That's for sure a rape situation. The situation with David and Bathsheba was not a rape situation. At any time, she could have said no to that, but she did not. She participated in that sin, although the judgment fell on David primarily, although it was her baby that died in 2 Samuel, and Bathsheba experienced that, the pain there, and her husband was killed by David. It was terrible, it was horrible, and it unleashed all kinds of problems in his life. But the point is that the critical race theory people and those that buy into that poisoned ideology, you know, it just says people in power, if they do anything in a sexual nature with someone underneath them, that is rape. And that's just not true. So the Southern Baptist Convention has serious problems. And I appreciate the fact that they didn't try and cover that up. You know, there was an audit done. And in that audit, this was last year, where they said, hey, your current trajectory is unsustainable. Financially, you can't keep burning through money like this. You're going to go broke. And obviously, if you have to sell your building, you're in dire straits. They had to get a loan to cover some of these legal expenses, and the decision was made evidently to sell the building, and at $31 million, 31.7 value, doesn't mean you're going to get that. But, you know, when you start selling assets to cover your operations, that's a bad deal. You're in a tough spot. So we're still trying to get Scott Coulter on the line, and we have a little bit of a technical problem, but we're working on it. So hopefully we will get that, get him here soon. Hey, I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine. When I went to Israel, I got to know our tour guide really well, and you know, spend a lot of time with those people. And Pilar was our tour guide, and just such a wonderful lady. And I've been keeping up with her. And you know, I asked her. I said, "How are you?" As a tour guide and other tour guides making it, you know, the war began October 7th, and it's still going on today, almost a year in, and typically wars in Israel are not long. And I said, how are you making this? Obviously, we had a trip that was supposed to leave 2 weeks after the war broke out, and we didn't go, and many other trips have been canceled. Nobody's going over there. And she said, I asked her how she was doing. She said, I lost all my work, so I'm home praying for better days. The Biden-Harris administration want to force us to surrender to Hamas and Hezbollah. They are doing weapons embargoes to force us. They don't demand anything from Iran, which is the head of the snake. Keep us in your prayers. And I said, will do. I said, love you, Pilar. And she said, thank you. It means a lot. The most painful thing has been to see the hatred in America. It has shattered me. She said, my loved one got a PhD and is teaching in a school in America, and she has been advised not to say she's Jewish and from Israel. Breaks my heart. You know how much I love America. And so really, really terrible. And this lady, she does love America. She loves Donald Trump, even with all his flaws, because she knows, I mean, they were very, very excited in Israel that Donald Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem. That's been promised for a long time. He was the one that did it. And people said it couldn't be done. I think it was John Kerry said, oh, you're going to start a war over there. Well, none of that happened. You know, all the things that you hear from the left about, if you do this, it's going to be disaster. It's going to start a war, all this stuff. That doesn't ever happen. You put them in power, and what do you have? You have two wars going on, Russia and Ukraine and Israel and Gaza, and Iran is strong again as Donald Trump has said, hey, you got to keep Iran weak. You got to keep them financially weak so they can't fund all this, all these weapons going to Hamas and Hezbollah and other terrorist regimes. But the left doesn't do that. It's just terrible. You know, you heard, no doubt, the latest bombshell from the person on the let me find it here. The latest bombshell was, you know, you got things and then you lose them. Where the guy said, hey, they told us that we needed to lie about what was going on the border, and you know, and what's going on with the migrants and the illegal immigrants. And it's just sickening. And I've heard several stories about that. Yeah, we were told a lie about this. We were told a lie about that. Are they purposely trying, you wonder, are they purposely trying to destroy our country when you're told to lie about what's going on here? You know, I said, why are we continuing to vote for these people? And this was the tweet. Former Border Patrol Chief Aaron Heitke testifies before Congress that he was ordered by the Biden-Harris administration to cover up the number of terrorists arrested at the border. I was told, quote, I was told I could not release any information on... I was told I could not release any information on this increase in SIAs or mention any of the arrests. The administration was trying to convince the public there was no threat at the border. Good grief. You know, when that stuff is happening, you know, you ask yourself, what in the world? What is the end game? You're trying to destroy our country. You're doing it on purpose. It's not just you're a terrible leader, but you're purposely trying to destroy the country. And how do we know you're purposely trying to do that? Because you're getting officials and pressuring officials to lie so that the American people will believe a lie. And you're the mastermind of the lie. It is sick. It is twisted. It is awful. Well, I think we have Dr. Scott Coulter on the line. Scott, can you hear me?
Hello, Pastor. I'm here. Good morning.
All right, Scott. I appreciate that. Sorry for the trouble. I talked about, introduced the situation in the Southern Baptist Convention. It is indeed shocking. $12.1 million spent on what we could call a legal boondoggle, I would think. And we haven't gained anything from all that we have done. It seems like we've just burned through money, and what do we have to show for it? And we only have about a minute before the break, Scott, but can you stay on after when we come back on segment two?
Certainly. Glad to stay on, and you're exactly correct that this is really unfortunate. We've seen millions of dollars be spent, and these are mission dollars that were given for Southern Baptists to reach the world with the gospel message, and those have been used in these ways here, and not much to show for it. There's not a database of credibly abused people out there or credibly abusers. There's not a lot of success that we've seen so far in this movement, and so really just regret the situation, how much it's been spent, and the ramifications for what that means for Southern Baptists in the current culture and climate today. So thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's just horrible, and so when we come back from the break, we'll be talking to Scott more about this. He is very astute and in tune with Southern Baptist life, and so it matters what happens in the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest non-Catholic association of churches in America. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We will be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're having a little bit of a problem technically, but we hope to get that cleared up soon. We're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter. We're talking about the situation in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's a problem for sure with having to spend $12.1 million since 2021 on a Guidepost Solutions investigation that uncovered nothing of substance. We were told that there was massive, rampant sexual abuse going on in the Southern Baptist Convention, and that has proven to not be the case. So, Scott, what do you make of this news and all the millions that have been spent on something that was a big bag of nothing?
Well, that's what it's really turned out to be in a lot of different ways, Pastor. And I think to understand the context of what's happening in our Southern Baptist Convention, our own family of churches here, we have to see the broader context of what's been happening in our country at large. And it was Antonio Gramsci, the Italian full-blooded communist, that said in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that the pathway to success for communism and Marxism was the long march through the institutions. And, of course, that was packed up and repackaged in the 60s by a student revolutionary group that was perpetuating Marxism on college campuses. And it's very true that we have seen the leftists and the Marxists march through our institutions in this country, beginning with higher education. And that certainly happened. Your listeners will know that our Ivy League institutions of America were founded on Christian principles and were founded to train ministers for gospel ministry. And talking about places like Harvard and Yale, Princeton and Brown University, places that were founded by Congregationalists and Puritans and Catholics and Baptists, even in Rhode Island, and for the purpose of training ministers. And that the left began, I think, their takeover of Western culture through the institutions, through the higher education institutions, and we're seeing that today with college campuses teaching woke ideologies, Marxist ideologies, critical race theory, DEI, equity, inclusion, all of those types of things. And we can't trust our institutions any longer. Certainly that has expanded, and that's a massive overtaking of higher education institutions. Everything is downstream from there, but that has expanded into businesses. We're seeing that with CRT and DEI hiring practices and climate change activism and woke ideologies there in corporate spending and what corporations are doing. That's happened in our government. We certainly have seen that. That's happened in our media. As well, it's no surprise to any of us the leftist influences in our media and the angle and the slant by which all of our information is presented to us from mainstream legacy media. And the final remaining institution in our nation is that of religion. And so once you take over higher education, once you take over businesses and government and the media, what's left, kind of the last stronghold against the march of the left across this country and across Western ideologies, is religion. And we've seen that happen in mainstream denomination after mainstream denomination down the line. And I believe the last remaining stronghold is the Southern Baptist Convention for conservative theology, conservative Christianity in America. And so certainly we have a very large target on ourselves and on our institutions as evangelicals, as conservative Christians today, that seem to be falling prey to this march through our institutions and a takeover of our country in some ways from the left here. So I think that sets a little bit of context for what's happening in the SBC that we're discussing more specifically today.
Okay, so if you back up, Scott, when you think about, okay, we're at 2019-2020. We haven't spent any of this money, but things are brewing. Are the people that caused us to go this direction, Do you think they are just deceived into thinking they were doing a good thing, or are they deceivers knowing that this is going to start burning down the house, so to speak?
It's always difficult to paint with a broad brush and put everybody in one category. I think we're a denomination or a convention of churches full of people with good intentions that are often misled and confused in what's going on and understanding the times or understanding the situations around us as it may be. There are absolutely political entities in this country that have agendas and have goals and have leftist desires that they are trying to accomplish. And if you think about Southern Baptist specifically, or 16 million members or so, or at least we used to be when I first started working in the SBC, we've declined significantly since then, but that's a very large voting block in our country. About 5% of our nation's population is there. If you expand that to evangelicals at large, including non-denominational Bible believers, those types of groups there, we're looking at about 30% of the American voting block. And so this is the last holdout against this march through our country with leftist policies, the last holdout against LGBTQ ideologies and critical race ideologies, those types of things, are Southern Baptists and evangelicals that have historically been able to draw a line in the sand and say, no, we will oppose this. We will oppose this based on our biblical values. Well, there are leftist organizations, leftist influences that see us with a massive target and need to get us out of the way to accomplish what they're politically and agenda-wise trying to accomplish. And so I think it would be naive to think that this is a neutral world where, of course, everyone just wants to do only what is right. And there are ideologies coming into our Southern Baptist Convention that are saying things like, yes, it's biblical to love your neighbor, but loving your neighbor doesn't look like sharing the gospel with them or witnessing to them. It instead looks like this type of abuse reform, or it instead looks like race sensitivity, or it looks like equity instead of quality of opportunity, those types of things. And so really those are leftist talking points masquerading with biblical language and biblical terminology. There certainly are some bad actors who have foisted those into our convention, but a lot of unsuspecting pastors and unsuspecting people who want to do the right thing, who want to believe the right thing, who want to help somebody and have good intentions, but are being played, are being manipulated in some ways to their own detriment there, I believe.
Okay, Scott, when Russell Moore was the chairman of the president of the ERLC, I believe he made the statement that led people to believe there was rampant cover-up of sexual abuse in the SBC. Is that a correct statement?
I believe he did make that statement, yes. Several things happened with Dr. Moore there. He was waking up in the middle of the night having visions and unable to sleep, unable to continue on in a normal way because of the cries of the victims he was hearing and those who were being abused and those whose lives were being destroyed. And certainly I want to be the first to say that anyone who is a genuine victim of abuse deserves protection and love and compassion and defense and all of those things. And my heart goes out to anyone who is a genuine victim of abuse. I have several in my own family immediately close to me who were victims of heinous crimes and heinous acts of abuse, and my heart goes out to those instances and every true instance there. But he was concerned about these things, which led to a report spending millions of dollars to investigate the SBC on these claims of rampant, widespread abuse. Of course, the Houston Chronicle in Texas had outlined some of those, and many of those claims were debunked. Many were found to be in cases that were not Southern Baptist and are areas that certainly are terrible if that happened, but that we don't have control or oversight or influence upon. And we spent millions of dollars to investigate this. And basically, Bart Barber, our president at the time, came back and said that when looking at the SBC Executive Committee or our convention at large, they did not find instances of abuse that were mishandled by the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, or by the SBC Executive Committee, of course, our administrative arm. They just did not find that. They didn't find widespread, certainly not, but really even any instances of abuse being not reported or mishandled or covered up in those entity levels in our convention of churches. And so we seem to buy this story about ourselves and went down a path that spent lots of resources to find out that perhaps those ideologies that were shared in the beginning were not at and had more of an agenda behind them than many first suspected.
Okay, so Dr. Scott, we spent $861,000 on an abuse tip line hosted by Guidepost. Send Relief paid for that, which is, I mean, all of that is gifts given to the SBC. So what is the abuse tip line, and what is it being used for? And, you know, you bought something for $861,000 that's collecting dust. In my mind, I don't think it's been used at all. Am I wrong in that assumption?
No, I believe you're correct in that assumption, and we need to know, Pastor Jeff, what Southern Baptists and churches are able to do and what our conventional churches is able to do and what we're not able to do. And we are not equipped as a conventional churches to investigate crimes. We don't have the resources to do that. We don't have the personnel to do that. I've said this joking and passing before. We're unable to keep our website updated of the number of churches in this country that are looking to hire pastors. There's churches on there listed as needing a pastor that hired a pastor years ago, and there's churches that need pastors that aren't listed on there. That database of our churches for a ministry job search is woefully out of date. To think that we have the personnel or the capacity or the administrative manpower to investigate crimes that are being alleged simply is unfathomable. And so we need to, as Southern Baptists, direct this to the proper authorities. The tip line does not need to be calling into Southern Baptists. It needs to be calling the police, calling 911, reporting allegations of crimes, and allowing those who have the resources and the ability to investigate them and to prosecute them and to hold the perpetrators accountable to do so. We're not equipped to do that in our churches. And so for us to take on that responsibility really is unhelpful to the churches and also to victims of abuse. And for us to assume that responsibility at a very high cost here is just simply not what a convention of churches is able or equipped to do.
Yeah, just I think it was Tom Maskell that said, hey, you know, crimes need to go to the police. They don't, I mean, we're not, as you said, Scott, we're not a law enforcement agency. We're a collection of churches. And so somebody does something in one of our churches, we call the police, and they get involved, and they investigate. And if that person did indeed commit that crime, they're responsible for that. It seems like we were doing that before we spent $12.1 million to find out that we were indeed doing that. I just don't understand.
That's absolutely correct.
So a guy like Russell Moore, it seems like he should bear some responsibility for this, because the accusations he made and the insinuations were just way out in left field. They're not rooted in fact. And he was a big proponent of spending all this money to prove nothing.
Well, you notice Pastor Jeff, Russell Moore has resigned his position at the ERLC, has joined a church with a very different set of views in the Nashville area there where he resides, and really has shown that he is not a convicted Southern Baptist in doctrine or in theology there in some ways based on his actions once he departed from the convention. And so I do believe that he had an agenda that he was working. Megan Basham's new book, Shepherds for Sale, has highlighted many of the leftist influences and organizations that have funded things, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, under his leadership there. And that seems to be one of the avenues, at least, that was being used to perpetuate ideologies into our convention that were used to silence conservative leaders, used to silence the conservative denomination, and really to confuse and to fracture this conservative stronghold in our country and cause us to look inwardly and to begin fighting each other in some strategic ways, I think, for the left there, that distracted us from global missions, distracted us from our mission in America, distracted us from our theology and our doctrine and from churches being effective in serving their communities, and caused us to look a direction that perhaps was unhelpful in a lot of ways. And after several years of looking that direction, now we have found out that really what was being alleged simply just was not happening. The numbers of abuse and certainly even one case of abuse is heinous and terrible and too many, but the numbers of abuse that they have found in Southern Baptist churches is drastically lower than in comparable organizations, other denominations, public school systems, those types of things that have hundreds of thousands of cases that are being prosecuted and are genuine crimes there. Southern Baptists, while every case is terrible, have far fewer members are doing a far better job in preventing abuse in their churches than most competing organizations, if you will. And so to say that this is a widespread overrun problem within the SBC really is just a false claim. And, of course, this has drastic consequences. So as I know you've discussed there, we've spent millions of dollars in investigating it. We've spent millions of dollars to hire guideposts to investigate ourselves, to produce a report that really did not conclude anything like what was being alleged. And then now they are being sued in several instances based on allegations that they made or claims that they made in that report by individuals. And Southern Baptist, I think, unwisely waived their attorney-client privilege. We certainly were actively outspoken against that. And then also signed an indemnification agreement, which means that we will pay the legal expenses that Guidepost incurs for anything that they stated in that report. And so we are now paying millions of dollars in defense of them, not in claims that we made or things that Southern Baptist did, but in claims that they made that we hired them to do. And so I don't know where this ends, but I'm very concerned about the future of what it means for Southern Baptists, what this means for our mission work, what this means for our conventional churches cooperating. Certainly churches on the left, the right, and the middle are all withdrawing and holding back cooperative program funds right now as a reaction to what these types of funds are being spent on and as a way of expressing their concern there. So I don't know what the future is for the SBC right now, but I have some very real concerns based on all this. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just sad. You know, the scripture says, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I agree with you, Scott. I think you had some bad actors in there that were deceiving, and then you had some people that were being deceived and thinking that they were doing a good thing in pushing this agenda for, you know, let's uncover all this abuse. And at the end of the day, you know, spending $12.1 million, you didn't uncover anything, and you're getting sued. One man in particular, Johnny Hunt, who was smeared terribly in the Guidepost Solutions report, and he's wanting compensation for what they've done to him. Well, we're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter. He's the president of the Danbury Institute, an association of churches, Christians, and organizations aligned to affirm and preserve the God-given rights to life, liberty, by influencing culture and public policy and promoting Judeo-Christian values. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We think we've got some things fixed on the technical end, so hopefully it's sounding better. But we're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter from the Danbury Institute, and we're talking about what is going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. I mean, it should shock everybody, Southern Baptist or not, that an organization is spending $12.1 million on all these legal fees just for the last 3 years, and it's caused the SBC to say, hey, in order to pay for all this stuff, we're going to have to sell our building. That's not good, obviously, not good. And so, you know, it really shows when things take place. You know, the Bible says, I mentioned that verse, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. When you see culture going a certain way, when you see everybody jumping on the bandwagon, the Me Too bandwagon, obviously there's some there are victims involved in that, and we need, as Dr. Coulter said, we need to support them, we need to pray for them, we need to be there for them, and that is a horrific thing. But that can take on a life of its own if you're not careful, and then all of a sudden, you know, believe all women, and women can say things, not, you know, Mrs. Potiphar, believe all women. She lied about Joseph, and men can get lied about, and ruin their lives. And so that's one of the reasons that Dr. Johnny Hunt is suing. He feels like he was smeared and lied about in the Guidepost Solutions investigation report, and he's suing as a result of that. You know, I have a hard time with that. I don't know if I would do that. The scripture talks about 1 Corinthians 6, not doing that. Don't sue your brother. And no doubt he's saying, well, that's not my brother. That's an entity. I don't know how he's processing that. But a good portion of the monies that they're spending is to work on that case from Johnny Hunt. And then it's just a sad day. Everything is being litigated, and it's just, you know, there are terrible things going on, and there are bad actors that are pushing lies, and then there are those that are caught up in the lies. So discernment is critical in these days in which we live. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." And so we need to spend time with the Lord, spend time in the Word of God, know it, let it dwell within us richly. Let us let the Word of God guide us as we look at situations, as we view life from God's perspective. That is wisdom. Wisdom is viewing life from God's perspective. And allow the Lord to teach us the truth of that. The Bible says, do not judge according to, from the lips of Jesus, do not judge according to appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment, and look deeper than just the surface of the thing. And jumping on the bandwagon of something is never a good idea. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give us a call. And if you're Southern Baptist and you're concerned, you need to be. And we need to be praying for the Southern Baptist Convention. As Dr. Coulter said, you know, the SBC represents a huge number of people, 47,000 churches across America, the largest mission sending organization. And we train lots and lots of pastors at our six seminaries. And so if the SBC goes down, and craters to liberal ideologies and Marxist ideologies, we lose a lot. And so we need to stand firm and pray and get involved and stand up for what is right. You know, we have the annual meeting. When you're a Southern Baptist, you have an annual meeting in the summer and in June, and we go and we vote. And we hopefully let our voices be heard. And, you know, not very many people go to those meetings in proportion to how many Southern Baptists we have. And that's just the way it is. But we have, 10,000, 15,000 that go. And we have, you know, millions, 13 million or so Southern Baptists. So small percentage of people that are actually voting on things. And it's been that way since it's started. And we just have to continue in the fight. And pastors, here's the thing. So what goes on nationally, I mean, we have influence in that and input, but you have lots of control on what you preach in your church and what you're saying to your congregation, and how you're leading the church forward, setting the culture, setting the, you know, just the spirit of the church as you follow the Lord. You know, we need to be able as pastors, and we have a hard time saying this because we know ourselves very well, but as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Hey, if you want to follow Jesus, follow me. I don't follow him perfectly, but I am moving in the right direction. So follow me as I follow Christ. And one of the things we talked in staff meeting this week at First Baptist Texarkana, the culture of the church. I've always stated that the church takes on the personality of the pastor. If the pastor is more cold in his personality, not very warm, not very demonstrative, not extremely loving, The church starts to be like that. It's not very demonstrative, a little cold, and might be scripturally sound, but it's missing an aspect of the warmth. You know, I've always thought this and stated this, that, you know, if you were to meet Jesus during his earthly ministry, he surely wouldn't be cold. He wouldn't be distant. He wouldn't be a handshaker. He'd be a hugger. The little kids lined up to sit in his lap. Well, why would they do that? Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and he is love personified. And he said, hey, permit the little children to come to me, and don't hinder them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. And we have Belinda on the line from Virginia. Belinda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Well, I was married to my husband, and he died after 28 years of marriage. And this other man came, and he just told me I was the most wonderful, beautiful, whatever, and he'd ever met. He's kind of got a narcissistic personality, and I just fell for everything, hook, line, and sinker. I just thought it was wrong. Someone actually told me, you worship the man, and I know that's wrong because you shouldn't have an idol.
Right.
And I just put everything in my whole life into him. And we got married. And there were so many things. I sold my house because he said, we'll get a little house together. And then he started devaluing me. Mm-hmm. And now he wants to just discard me like a piece of trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to leave here, his house, by the 28th of this month. And so many things have happened. I mean, I spent all this money here. He never paid for any groceries in 7 years or cleaning supplies. All he thinks of is money, 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 money. I worked in his yard doing leaves for 6 years, painted the whole house inside and out. I just feel so hurt.
I'm so sorry, Belinda. I wish I could fix it for you. That's obviously a very painful thing, and it's very disillusioning. And we'll pray for you that God would give you wisdom, that God would protect your heart. You know, the Lord is near. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so God will be very near to you. He's opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And when you have had the rug pulled out from under you and had your heart broken in this situation, just know that the Lord is near. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, you know, I remind myself when life is really, really hard that the Lord loves me and that the Lord is below me. Meaning underneath are his everlasting arms. And so no matter how low I get, I never get lower than his arms of love and compassion and concern and provision. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And so I just need to just trust him. And I would just encourage you in that and just keep pressing into Jesus. Keep trusting him. Keep casting your cares on him because he cares for you. And just know that he is the God of hope. Romans 15:13 is such a key verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the key to that verse, Romans 15:13, is believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So just continue to believe on him. Continue to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Know that he's going to take care of you, that he loves you, and he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. So God bless you, Belinda, and I know our listeners will be praying for you. Thank you for calling in. We have Patrick on the line from Oklahoma. Patrick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. and I just have a comment to make. We as Southern Baptist Church members, we have hired our pastors to be hired guns instead of being our pastors. And then instead of us going and being the ambassador at the Southern Baptist Convention and voting our beliefs, we send our pastors off, and they sometimes, most of the time, they vote their beliefs instead of the actual church's beliefs. Because we've gotten desperate to hire a pastor, we just take anything that pops up that wants to come and preach to us. And it's created a problem for us.
Mm. Yeah, I hope that's not true for all the churches, Patrick. But, you know, in the news, Stephen Lawson was in the news, and not in a good way, yesterday, as there was an inappropriate relationship. He's 74 years old, and so I wasn't expecting that, but he's been dismissed from his church in Dallas. And you know, it was written about him in the report that he was pastor at Dauphin Way some years ago in Mobile, Alabama. And you know, that church was not a Calvinistic church, and he is a Calvinist, and that church didn't do a good job in interviewing him and vetting him, because, you know, that's not a good fit. If you're not a Calvinistic church and you hire a 5-point Calvinist pastor, well, that's not going to fit well. And the church basically melted down, and then he left, and all the staff left with him and started another church. And to my knowledge, Dauphin Way has never recovered from that. And so I agree with you. Churches need to do a good job in praying for a pastor, in vetting the pastor, in interviewing him, finding out what he believes. And churches need to be solid on what they believe. But that's the big problem, Patrick, is we have a lot of Christians today. I heard Daryl Harrison on Jenna Ellis just earlier, and he said, you know, bottom line is, Christians today, we don't read the Bible. We don't know what the Scripture says. We don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We're not able to discern between good and evil. We don't even know on the pastor search committee what questions to ask and to find out where this guy stands. But what a person believes is critical, and because that's what they're going to preach. They're going to preach what they believe, and churches need to know. Christians need to be solid in what's going on in our world today, solid in the Word of God, and have a biblical worldview. And if we don't have that, then we are subject, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, we're subject to every wind of doctrine, and we're like little children, and we are blown about. And Paul says, hey, as a result, no, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Patrick. I appreciate your comments. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And we apologize for the technical problems we had, and we're glad we got those corrected for this final segment. And I appreciate our engineers in Tupelo working on that so diligently, and my engineer here, Jay Budzilowski. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and let your voice be heard. Let your light so shine among men. It will make a difference. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.